Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hi, Ryan!
Wow.
I knew you were going to do that!
Hello. I'm here to destroy Earth.
That's an interesting greeting. So, I just want to jump right in here, because we have so much to talk about this week, and not the least of which is Mass Effect 3. But, so first of all, I just want to tell everyone that we've decided to organize a Gamers In game night, which we mentioned on last week's show, and we're going to call it Gig Nights. That's bordering on pun. I love it. So I created a Google spreadsheet for everyone to enter their information into, and we will post the link on all of our social networking sites, or you can go check out the existing link in the BTW forums, which you should all be going to and chatting in and joining up with anyways. But we've had about 10 people sign up so far, which is very exciting. And we're going to pick our first game and our first game night next week and let you know. I think next week works for you, Ryan. Are you ready to jump right into this?
Yeah. I am totally ready.
Excellent. So we're going to rotate games, systems, and nights to try to give everyone a chance to participate, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, we should start with Mass Effect 3. That's my vote.
I think that right now that's going to be everybody's vote.
For sure.
So shall we... What?
Nope, sorry.
Don't dude. Throw me right off.
Yeah, I know. Let's start over. Let's just go back.
I'm not starting over. We're recording late enough as it is.
I'm kidding.
So we have a new segment this week, which we are calling Quickfire News. So we're not going to have any discussion around these topics, but they're little bits of news that have come up so far this week that we just wanted to share with you and make sure nobody missed, because... obviously, we are where you are getting all of your gaming news. So, Ryan, why don't you kick it off?
Well, I'll start first off with a test bumper. I didn't run this by you, but I think the bumper should be something like, beep, 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 oh my god, I'm on fire, quickly. It's a work in progress. maybe next week we'll have something a little more, you know, solid. But
polished?
Polished? That was polished. I worked all morning on that. So we'll start off with release dates. We got a list of release dates here. Medal of Honor Warfighter, October 23rd. I never played the one that came out before. So Assassin's Creed 3, October 31st. That's a weird Halloween game, I guess. These are kind of all over the place. This is all 2012, by the way. Lollipop Chainsaw Girl, June 12th. That's a good summer game. Cod Blops 2, November 12th. That's labeled as a leak / rumor. So, but I would suspect the 12th would be pretty spot on. BioShock Infinity, October 16th. Super looking.
It's infinite. It's not infinity.
Oh, my bad. Let's start over.
No.
BioShock Infinite. Borderlands 2, September 18th. And then finally, last note here, iPad 3, March 16th, for all you touch gamers, I guess.
Yeah, technically not a game, but, you know, it's still a release.
Plays
date,
a lot of them.
It does. Mm-hmm. Okay, so SimCity 5 is coming in 2013. It's been almost 10 years since the last SimCity release, which was SimCity 4, and that was back in 2003. So rumors have been confirmed as of a couple of hours ago that SimCity 5 is officially coming in 2013. It looks like this is going to be a full reboot because it's not actually a numbered SimCity game. It's just SimCity. So the announcement trailer will be posted in the show notes. And that's how you do quick news.
Bam. You've just been Jocelyned. Jocelyn? I don't know.
Jocelyn.
Also this week, we got a first look at Halo 4. If you'll remember from the end of Halo 3, Master Chief is kind of floating in space, and the last thing he says to Cortana is, "Wake me when you need me." Well, it turns out, in Holiday 2012, we're going to need little Master Chief back again, because 343 Studios has finally unveiled their Halo 4 game, and you know, all new setting. They're gonna explore the Master Chief character. Like, Master Chief, if you didn't read the books, you'd think he's just a robot, but really is a human. And for once, they're gonna explore that in the games, where before they left it to the books and comics. So we have that to look forward to, and you know, I'm really excited, and hopefully the replica helmet will be wearable this time around.
Such a thorn in your side, isn't it?
Ah, constant.
Okay, so Peter, I'm gonna get this wrong. Molyneux leaves Lionhead. Peter Molyneux, mastermind behind the Fable series and co-founder of Lionhead Studios, will be leaving the studio as well as Microsoft after Fable: The Journey is complete. So, Fable: The Journey is a Kinect exclusive first-person shooter set 5 years after Fable 3 and is coming out September 4th. And now we get to news that we actually get to discuss. I'm excited about this.
Yay.
We have a rumored Valve console. I
Yay.
think Ryan. Oh, okay. I was gonna say, I'm like, I think I might have lost Ryan there.
No, I'm excited.
Okay, so this console is looking to be, is rumored to be, a hardware standard. Having issues speaking now. So, like a set-top box that would run Steam content, PC games, and like PC games that aren't on Steam, and even stuff from something like, ooh, Origin, perhaps, which is interesting. There's going to be no licensing fee to develop for the platform. They're thinking an announcement is going to be coming at the Game Developers Conference, GDC, which is happening right now, or E3 in June. So I think if we haven't heard anything yet, because I think it started on the 5th and goes till the 9th, which is Friday, I believe. If we haven't heard anything yet, it's probably not going to be released at GDC, but we'll see. There's still a couple days left. It's also going to support configurable game controllers. Ha! I made it through that word.
Configurable. Uh-oh.
Do you have nothing to say about this?
Oh, I don't know. You had a problem with configurable, then you didn't say anything. Man, what is up with us tonight? You know, first of all, this sounds a lot like basically taking a Mac Mini and connecting it to your TV. I mean, this is more about gaming than it is about entertainment, right? You know, when you have a Mac Mini and you plug it into your TV, it's more about watching movies on your TV. But this is more off from
Is the
gaming.
Mac Mini like the Apple TV? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, it's basically a computer, but in a small, compact form. So not as small as the Apple TV, but similar idea. And I think that this is definitely like along those lines, but solely focused on gaming. Now, it should be noted that like it sounds like this would be loaded with some form of Windows. It's basically a computer, but with standardized hardware
Exactly.
that would be replaced every few years.
Yeah, so I think it's really cool. I mean, as we all know, I like playing games with my controller, and it would be really, really cool if PC functionality was available on my TV slash controller. So, yeah, big fan of this. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's weird though, because like for me, PC gaming is all about adding that extra bit of hardware just to get a game to perform perfectly. But this console, it just seems like it's a console idea. So like, why now you're gonna have PC games coming out, you know, with new graphics every 4 years if this catches on. I think this is really cool in the sense that ignore like this machine being targeted at the Skyrim players. They're not gonna change their ways. I think this is more for like, you know, the iOS crowd who, you know, can download a game made by a small company and play it on their phone for 15 minutes. And you know, this is a neat idea because now I can have this Steam box hooked up to my TV and play like some indie game that'll run on any piece of hardware, but it's still a fun game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It seemed that some of the rumored specs are pretty hardcore. So I don't know. I think they're still aiming at the hardcore players, unless I've completely read this wrong. Like, I mean, if this is just another Wii, I'm gonna buy one just to run it over with my car.
It's not another Wii. You're right. The specs are up there. Like an i7 processor, a bunch of RAM, and an NVIDIA graphics card is nothing to say psh about. But I don't know. It seems like having that hardware lock is one of the biggest things that PC gamers would hate. Valve has surprised us before with these sort of like unveilings, and I think if anyone's going to do it right in making a PC console experience, they're the ones that are going to do it.
And a hardware standard doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a box like an Xbox. It means that, you know, like maybe once a year they come out and they say, okay, everyone who's, because it's not just made by Valve. So they're going to come out and say, okay, to call your piece of hardware a Valve console, here's the specs that you have to meet. So it's like a DVD player. Like anybody can make it as long as, and so in order to get the Valve stamp of approval and name on it and everything else, you have to meet those hardware standards. But that means that, you know, it could come out every year or every 6 months or whatever. So it could be something that's constantly evolving, and you just kind of buy a new one whenever you can and, you know, upgrade whenever you want to, instead of having to wait through these big long console cycles. Excuse me, console cycles. Unless I'm completely wrong about that.
No, I think we're on the right path with this, and thinking that they're not. I don't think they're trying to replace the PC gaming, but more like just. Well, you used the example of the Wii and you wanted to run it over, but I think the Wii is a perfect example of what Valve would try to do with this. Is that they're just trying to bring PC gaming to the mass market, similar to what the Wii did, like. Your grandmother would never think of playing an Xbox, right? But maybe not specifically your grandmother or my grandmother for that matter. They won't touch the stuff. But
my grandmother wouldn't remember
citizens,
if she did.
Right. Well, senior citizens in general will say, or people just who don't play games in general. Man, I'm just stirring up all kinds of hate tonight. Sorry, senior citizens. But anyways, non-gamers, will say, be a little less controversial, would be playing this Wii system, like play like bowling or Wii tennis or something. And I think this is the idea. They're, you know, going to produce these Steam boxes at a $500 price point or lower and say, hey, this is a computer. You can play games on it. You can probably run Netflix on it. It'll have some multimedia stuff. And you can hook it up to your TV and have a grand old time. You know, I think that's what they're going for, right? They're not trying to say like, oh, you know, you'll never have to upgrade for 4 years and you'll be able to play every game. I think that market will still be there.
Sure. I don't know. It doesn't seem gimmicky to me, and Valve doesn't really strike me as a company that would go the way of Nintendo. I don't know. I really don't think that's what it is. But it's hard with, like, I mean, we're speculating on rumors, right? So. Who really knows? I guess we'll know as of either 2 days from now or June. So.
Oh, June. I can't wait. That being said, this isn't completely rumors because Steam is the platform. Valve is the company. Yeah. Valve has gone public saying that they are going to be offering a big picture mode for their Steam application, which would allow you to control Steam using a controller and launch games and stuff.
Right.
So it's not completely out there. They are thinking about this.
Well, and they've said that they will get into the hardware market if they have to. And, you know, so, yeah. And I think the one of the points in the article was basically just said that they don't really like the monopoly that the Apple App Store is kind of having right now. And I think it's going to be interesting whatever they do. And the thing that I find really, really cool is they're not going to charge people to develop on their platform, which is something that Nintendo, PlayStation, and Microsoft all do. Or I guess Sony, not PlayStation, but Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft all do, is they charge people to develop games. So I think there's going to be a ton of small companies that can finally get into the console market, whereas they may not have had the capital to do that in the past. So It'll be interesting if they can pull it off.
And you did mention competing with Apple, and most people were thinking at the Apple event today that Apple would announce that, you know, they mentioned, oh, new Apple TV, and everyone's like, okay, when are they going to say something about the SDK so we can develop apps for it? And it wasn't there. So I say Steam has – or Valve has another, like, year to do this right. So Apple's kind of left the door open for them. So if Valve beats them to the punch, well, Apple probably doesn't even care. Right, they've gone on record before saying that gaming's not their thing. It was just a happy accident with iOS.
Mm-hmm.
But all I'm saying is, like, Valve has this window and they gotta hit it, or else iOS is just gonna be another happy accident all over your TV screen. That sounds wrong and dirty.
That sounds so wrong.
Right.
Oh, and on that note, I think we should move on to our next news story, which I'm so excited about, and that is the launch of Mass Effect 3. So the final installment in the Mass Effect series launched yesterday, March 6th, in the US and Canada, and is launching next week, or sorry, not next week, 2 days from now over in Europe. So all day Monday, Alliance Newsnet was live tweeting the alien invasion of LA a la War of the Worlds. So the day culminated in an invitation for the survivors to join into the live stream midnight launch of the game. So, Ryan, did you get your copy of Mass Effect 3?
I did. And, oh boy, what a story that is. I don't know if you want me to go into it now or if we're still...
Oh, yeah, go into it. I want to hear the whole thing.
Okay, so on past episodes, I had gone on record saying that I was not going to get the Collector's Edition. Then I realized that they were offering this day one DLC for free plus the soundtrack, which you just heard. And I'm like, well, now I have to get it because if I'm going to buy the stuff anyways, it's going to cost the same. So I might as well try and get it. So my plan was to go to Walmart, set the alarm for 5:30. I get out the door at 6:45. I head to Walmart. I'm in the parking lot. I wait till 7 o'clock rolls around, and then I go into the store. And I'm the fourth guy to the counter, and they had 3 Xbox Collector's Editions. And I'm like, damn it. I broke it down into my head that, like, I was, like, 3 minutes away from getting it. Because the people at the counter had just got to the counter, were just paying as I got there. And, like, usually where I live, the streets are pretty busy, so I cut through a plaza so I can take the lights to turn onto the street rather than crossing 4 lanes of traffic. So I did that and added 2 minutes to my drive. And then I waited in the parking lot until it was exactly 7, adds about 3 minutes to my to my wait time. So here we're sitting
always,
at 5 minutes.
You always wait at the door, dude. You never sit in your car.
I know. And anyways, I get inside and the damn greeter's talking to me about how it's cold inside, and me being Canadian, I'm like, oh yeah, eh, it's pretty cold out there, and like, no, I'm talking about the store, eh? And I'm like, oh, okay. So 10 minutes later, I'm walking over to electronics, and I'm like sad Arrested Development background music as I walk outside the store with my Game of Thrones Blu-ray and regular Mass Effect. So, and I guess before I continue, I should probably say that, like, this story is more a personal lesson and a cautionary tale about pre-ordering rather than me getting upset at any of the people involved in this story. This is no one's fault but my own.
I have a pre-order story that I'm going to talk about after you talk about your story. So, continue. Okay.
Well, I'm going to try not to make it super long-winded because it is kind of it is a good story though. But anyways,
you're
then I get back
to work. You're making it more long-winded by telling me you're going to try to not drag it on.
You're not helping. So I get back to work and I realize, wait, Future Shop opens at 10. And I should probably mention that I did make up the time for leaving work to go pick up my copy of the game. So if anyone's thinking like, oh, Ryan's skipping out on work, that's not true. Anyways. Go to Future Shop, get there 15 minutes before they open, and I'm second in line. I'm not making the same mistake. I'm up against the building. When they open those doors, I'm the second guy in, and I know it. Get inside, no collector's editions. Walk to the back. The chick says, no, we didn't get any. I'm like, oh, great. So I walk back to my car, and I'm like – and at this point, I'm saying to myself, I'm ready to give up. I can accept the fact that I can just pay for the extra content and be done with it. No. I call EB and I'm like, did you guys get any extra copies of Mass Effect 3 Collector's Edition on 360? And I'm waiting for him to say, no. And they say, yeah, we got two more. And I'm like, what? Really? Well, I'll be there. So I drive across down the street, pull into EB, get out of my car, and there's a line waiting to cash out. And I'm thinking, great. So my heart, at this point, I'm super excited. I'm like, just want it to be over with, you know? So I'm waiting in line, and I'm waiting in line, and everybody's getting their pre-orders, right? So I figure it's like, I'm good. All these people are either getting other games or getting their pre-orders. So I get to the counter, and I'm like, I just called. I want an Xbox 360 Collector's Edition Mass Effect 3, and I'm ready to hear the whole, oh, sorry. And I'm like, yeah, we got one left. And I'm like, yes! God. You have no idea what I had to go through to get this. And he says, oh, just one thing, though. The box is a little damaged. And I'm like, I don't care. As long as the stuff
is good. I don't want it for the box.
Well, the box is kind of neat. But no, I didn't want it for the box. And I guess the story was that they only got enough for pre-orders. And then when they shipped it, one of the boxes were damaged. So the manager at EB, rather than trying to give this pre-order or give the copy to as a pre-order, they said, hey, you guys fucked up. You need to send us another copy. So EA sent them three extras, one to replace the pre-order and two extras. So if it weren't for the – and I know I've gone on record saying I don't like EB, but I'm changing that today, because if it weren't for EB calling to complain to protect their customers and EA following through to make them happy and also send them extra copies, just – they didn't have to. They just had to send one. So because of that weird fluke, I got one. And, like, really, across the town, besides Walmart, it was all pre-orders. And then I get home, and I crack it open, and I'm looking at all the stuff. And I read the comic book. I punched all my codes in, waiting for everything to download. And then I look at the art book. And this is where I'm kind of thinking, damn it, I wish I hadn't done that. Because, like, to me, an art book is, like, this is something that I can read before I play the game, or just flip through and look at all the cool art. First page, they're like talking about characters that you know are in the game, like Ashley and Caden, and they're talking about like, oh, in this game, we
care
more about them. And then I'm flipping through. I flip to the last page, and there's like pictures of
Alliance ships. Why would you do that?
There's pictures of Alliance ships, and they say, these Alliance ships and blah, 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 we changed the color scene. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I flip to, like, the 10th page, final boss.
Oh, no. La, 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 don't tell me anything. I don't want to hear it.
God.
I'm not there yet.
I am not going to
spoil it for me. I will come through Skype at you, man.
I am not. You know what? We're going to revisit this conversation in our spoiler cast. Because I've convinced myself that it has not ruined the game for me, and
okay, stop talking. Seriously,
I'm
I don't want
to spoil it. Don't worry, I made a point of like contacting everybody on my Twitter list saying, do not look at the art book, and I kind of went on a media blackout for this game, so I missed the fact when they were actually reporting that the art book had leaked and it contained major spoilers. So because I wasn't reading Mass Effect news, I missed that. But I don't know whether it's common sense or not to not look at the art book. I just kind of figured I'd be safe considering there was no notice, no nothing. You know, in the past collector's editions I've gotten, usually what happens is there's a sticker or a sheet on it that says, do not read this, do not watch this video until you have beaten the game.
Really?
That. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
They just left it up to you, and there was no warning, and I was kind of like, I can't blame anybody but myself, but I'm still upset.
Well, unlike you, I did actually pre-order Mass Effect 3. I did it, I guess, last Tuesday. I did it a week ahead of time, and I was trying to decide where I was going to pre-order it from and who had the best deal, and I searched everywhere because I was thinking I wanted there must be some bundle that did the Kinect and Mass Effect 3. And I looked everywhere that was accepting pre-orders for Mass Effect 3. I searched to see if there was a Kinect bundle. None of them. So I was like, okay, well, Future Shop has the best deal. I got $5 off the game. I got a really cool steelbook to put the game in. And $10 towards another game purchase in I think the next 3 months or something like that. So I was like, you know, this is like $15 off and this cool steelbook, so I'll go with Future Shop. So then they put their freaking flyer out, and it's literally like 2 days before the launch of Mass Effect 3. Everyone who's going to pre-order has already pre-ordered, and they have a friggin' bundle with a Kinect. I was so angry. I was going to rant about it on Google Plus and then decided not to. But yeah, I was so mad. In the end, I decided not to get the Kinect bundle anyways because it's just extra money that I can put towards other things right now. And I don't really need a Kinect. But yeah, I was so angry. I was like, if you're going to advertise a pre-order for something, especially something as cool as a bundle, why are you doing it 2 days before the release of the game? 2 days, Future Shop. Do it at least a week ahead, if not 2 weeks. Grr. That's my Future Shop rant. But the one thing they did do is they got it to me on time yesterday. So I had my copy of Mass Effect 3 as soon as I was out from work. I went to my mailbox and it was waiting for me. And I've played 10 hours of Mass Effect 3 now. And I worked yesterday and today. 10 hours.
You're so far ahead. It's not fair.
I know. But you have played it, right? So.
Yeah.
How is it with the Kinect now that you've played it through? Like, is this something that I probably should have gone with the bundle or no? Please tell me no.
No, I was going to say, I was actually going to ask, when you tweeted that and you mentioned Future Shop in your tweet, did you see that they replied to you?
Yeah, I did, but I couldn't be bothered to answer to that. Because the thing is, the problem that I have with them has nothing to do with customer service. It's a corporate marketing thing. So me talking to customer service would just be annoying. They don't know what they're
doing. And you did decide you weren't going to get it, so I guess it really didn't matter. Anyway, yeah, with the Kinect, when it works and when it does exactly what you want, it's cool. But when it doesn't work, it's broken. It feels broken. So like a perfect example is I'm having a discussion and there's this epic moment where you're talking to a character and you feel like, yes, this would be a cool moment to actually like think about my response and say it out loud, as stupid as that sounds. But then like, so one of the lines was, he says something, and this isn't a spoiler. He says something like, something about Earth. And then he says, I'm not doing this very much justice. But anyways, you say something epic like, if only we were back on Earth. So I'm like, only on Earth, nothing. Only on Earth, nothing. Only on Earth. And it finally goes through. And at that point, you realize, I should have just hit the button. Because I feel like an idiot. And B, I'm ruining the moment of this like epic conversation. And it's made even worse when you're in combat. Because like if it doesn't do something that you want it to, you find you're just yelling over and over again when it would just be easier to just hit the button. You can yell at your Xbox to quick save and it works. That's pretty neat.
That's really cool.
So that it's the future, you know, quick save and it saves. So.
Yeah, I've obviously, since I've played 10 hours, I love it. And I'm a button push kind of girl. I'm not a motion control kind of girl. So, I mean, and I know that most of the gameplay is still the buttons and everything else, but I mean, I feel like I'm not missing out that much with the Kinect, especially since apparently it doesn't recognize what you're saying with your Canadian accent. Well,
you know, I'd use the same words to describe what kind of gamer I am as well. But like, except not like a girl, I would say, you know, I'm a button pushing kind of guy. I'm a, you know, I just want to try it from time to time. And when it works, it's kind of cool. But, no, I'm about 3.5 hours in. I actually just finished like the first mission, then like finally, and then got off the Citadel and back on my ship, and I'm like, cool, let's go explore and talk to everybody. And that took longer than the first mission to just go around and talk to all these people. And that's when I realized that this is exactly why I love Mass Effect. It's just talking to these people.
And dude, the cutscenes are amazing. And, you know, like, there's sometimes, like, I mean, something was happening that I had to pause the game, and you can't pause the cutscenes, which kind of sucks, because I feel like I'm like, I had to leave my TV for a minute, and I couldn't pause it, and I was just like, oh, man, I totally missed whatever it was that just happened. But They're everywhere in a really, really good way. It's like you're in the middle of a battle or running through a mission, and all of a sudden it's just like this big epic thing happens, and it's a cutscene, and then you're right back into it, and it's totally seamless.
I was going to say, if you're trying to pause during like a conversation, the pause button doesn't work, but if you hit the guide button, it will pause it.
Oh, yeah, no, not in a conversation. I mean, like, in an actual, like, cutscene movie part.
Yeah, the guide button. Just hit the guide button and it'll pause it. Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, yeah, I think so. Try it.
Maybe I should have read the manual. I keep bitching about how Apple needs a manual. Well, yeah, there is. There's a
not
little
in the
thingy.
Box. No. It's like a warranty.
I didn't look
thing.
At it
you
that closely.
Actually...
I just assumed it was there.
Yeah, I wish I did that.
But yeah, so how are you playing this time? Are you going more Renegade, Paragon? Like, how are you playing your main character? You imported from 2, right? Like, you kept your character going?
Yeah, so mine is imported from 1 to 2 and then 2 to 3. So, and I've always been Paragon. But I have a question, and I noticed you were talking about it on Twitter. Can you do both? Can you do both Renegade and Paragon, and it just kind of works independently rather than it being like a swing?
You
can. Is that what I'm gathering?
When you go into your leveling setup, you can see on the left-hand side where it used to be two things around your face that would show you how much you had Paragon versus Renegade. Now it's just 1 meter, and your Renegade is at the bottom, and your Paragon is on top, and altogether it's your reputation. So it unlocks... Even if I had all Renegade up to, say, like a level of 50% reputation or whatever, it would actually unlock both the Renegade and the Paragon chat options, regardless of what your ratio of Paragon to Renegade is. So it means that the conversation is completely open to you as long as you're at a certain level, and it's not like before... You had to be at a certain level of Renegade to get the Renegade option and a certain level of Paragon to get the Paragon option. So it's way better because there are some situations where I just want to hit the guy in the face with the butt of my gun. But in Mass Effect 2, that wouldn't have been an option because I was a Paragon and a goody two-shoes, and so I couldn't do it. But now, if it's like, give him a hug or hit him with your gun, you can hit him with the gun even if you're a nice guy.
Yeah, I've had actually more Renegade options than Paragon so far. And
I think it's just
more about the setting.
Yeah, when I started my game, because I actually ended up importing my FemShep from 2 into 3, which is something I said I wasn't going to do, but I changed my mind. So I imported my character from 2 into 3. And so I had about, I would say, 20% reputation from my imported character, and almost the entire thing was blue, which is the Paragon color. And like, you couldn't even see that there was red at the bottom. It just looked like the blue bar didn't quite go all the way to zero. But as soon as I started making decisions, like, I'm almost 50-50 now with my Paragon versus my Renegade score, because like, everything I've been doing is Renegade, except there's this, I'm going to tell this story without giving any spoilers, but there's this big thing that you have to decide whether you're going to do it or not. And the way it's presented to you, if you pick option A, then basically it's a really, really, really bad thing that you're going to do, but no one's ever going to find out. And option B is you do the good thing, people are going to find out, and a whole bunch of people are going to be pissed at you because basically you're picking between two sides. So if you do the right thing, you're basically losing allies, which you don't want to do, obviously, because it's supposed to be the whole galaxy against you. But the thing that you have to do, like, I made the Renegade choice the whole way through because I was like, this is war. We need to band together. I need everyone on my side, even though I know morally it's not the thing that I would do. I made the Renegade choice the whole way because I'm like, I am saving the galaxy here. Like, no holds barred. I'm going for it. Until the very end. And I couldn't pull the trigger. Literally. And I was just like, God damn it. Like, and I felt so torn. And this is why I love the Mass Effect series, is because the emotions that I felt in that cutscene, it felt like it was actually happening to me. And I was like, I can't do that. this dude's my friend. It's totally gonna kill me in the grand scheme of the war, but I'm like, I can't do it. And I felt so disappointed in myself for not being able to put the galaxy first. And I was just like, oh man, I'm a bad commander.
You're human, though. Like, that's the point. Like, the reason they made the main character a human, and like you could play as male or female, so you could feel like you're that character. And that right there, you know, you should wrap that up into a neat little package and send it off to BioWare and be like, you guys did your job.
Oh, so
you know,
much.
I felt like I couldn't make a decision because it affected me personally.
Which sounds kind of a little bit crazy, because, I mean, there's the logical part of my game that knows this isn't a logical part of my game, a logical part of my brain that knows this isn't actually happening to me right now. But at the same time, I'm so sucked in that I'm just like, I can't put it down. I have these crazy emotions when I'm making these decisions, and I really, really feel like there's something tangible in the balance right now, and everything I do, like there's the sense of urgency is there, and everything I do is like these huge monumental decisions, and there's real things hang in the balance with this, and oh my god, it's a video game.
It's a video game that makes you care about the characters, and I think that's one of the cool things about this game, this series rather, is that in the first game they get you attached to the characters, in the second game they take them away from you and then give you a whole new crew, but like scatter the old characters throughout the game so you can still kind of keep that connection, and in the third game they throw out the second crew and then like throw in the first crew again, so you got all your best buds back, right? You got Ashley or Caden, you got...
Unless they all died.
Well, I mean, but that's just it, though, because any character that wasn't a crew member in the second one but was in the first game, like, for, you know, the first hour of the game, it's pretty much you either get Ashley or Caden, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, like, and this is one of the things I gleaned from the art book is that they said, and this isn't a spoiler. We should remind people that this is a spoiler-free discussion of Mass Effect 3. Basically, like, it's the first couple hours. But anyways, they had discussed, and this is something you might have noticed, they discussed these two main characters, Ashley and Caden, and they're reintroducing them to Shepard, and they've really kind of redesigned them. And while reading the art book, they used the word sexualize many times, which is really bothers me in the sense that they've like they're admitting to changing the character's design to be more sexy, to kind of for some reason make you care more, I guess. If you'll notice, like Ashley changes a lot in the third game, like she looks different, and they've given her like more sleeker armor, I guess, that shows off her figure better. Well, I guess you might not have noticed that.
I don't
but,
have
like,
Ashley in my game. I have Caden. But I did notice the same thing, because there's a part of the game where he's not wearing a shirt. And I'm just like, you know, there's a lot of definition on him that you, like, normally, like, they're very kind of, like, Ken and Barbie dollish. But he didn't look very Ken-ish. He was very defined in a kind of awkward way. I was like, I don't know you well enough for this.
You should put your shirt back on.
Yeah, you're making this awkward for me. I just want to save the world.
Well, and that's just it. Like, in the first couple hours of the game, like, they really... And I don't know, like, in my experience... And again, I'm trying not to be spoilery, but, like,
it's
in my
so
experience...
It's so hard.
I know, and again, like, I feel sorry because I know me and you, I know where you're at, but I don't know where our listeners are at. But this isn't really spoilery, it's more just like, you kind of knew this was happening, and if you've followed any of the coverage, they've talked about this, but it's all about this conflict, like, it's, you know, resolution to the entire storyline, in the sense that everything that you started in Mass Effect 1 is going to be wrapped up by the end of Mass Effect 3. So one of those things is your relationships. So I've had on multiple occasions where my Shepard in Mass Effect 3 is kind of having these conversations between Ashley and other female characters, like, they care about me because we've been through a lot, right? So when it's like, oh, I missed you too, and it's like, it's so, the dialogue's kind of awkward. You know, like, that's one of the things
with awkward dialogue with Liara, which was so weird because we just had a normal, like, I play female Shep, so we just had like a normal relationship through the entire thing. Like, she's just, like, she's my buddy. And some of the things she's saying to me, I'm like, I don't think they changed this to reflect my relationship status with her. So I'm like, this is really awkward.
Yeah.
I had a lot of awkward moments.
In the first game, you could romance her even if you were a female. So maybe they've switched that back.
I know. Like, I'm not saying that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying because I didn't have a relationship with her, like, we were just friends. So it was weird because she started talking to me as if we had a relationship. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I don't know. It could just be a setting because, I mean, you didn't play Mass Effect 1, right? So it might assume that you guys just had a really strong relationship from the first one.
Maybe. Because it said, when I loaded in my character, it said, like, people romanced in Mass Effect 1, no one. Romanced in Mass Effect 2, Fane. So, like, it knew what my choices were. Because I think I must have, when I first started my Mass Effect 2, I must have made the choices of what happened in Mass Effect 1. I must have gone through all of that. I don't remember doing it, but I must have. Because it also told me that, like, Rex died and stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. If you say so. Because otherwise, like, it would have picked canon for me, right? Like, it would have gone with, has romanced Kaden in Mass Effect 1, if I hadn't made any of those decisions, right?
Yeah. It's tough to say, though, because, I mean, they make a lot of decisions on your behalf if you haven't played the game. Like, little things, because there's something you could do. In Mass Effect 1, you had the choice. You could go on a mission to kind of, like, save this ancient, like, species, and you can, like, kill it so it ends it. It's like the species that, like, almost wiped out the Krogan, the Rachnid or something.
Oh,
anyways,
yeah,
you have the
Rachnid,
option.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have the option to save them, or you have the option to destroy it, and then it'd be done with. And I saved them. And in the second one, you get a message, and this is the only connection. You get a message saying, like, oh, you know, this is the queen. I'm doing pretty good. Glad to hear you're not dead. and that's probably something that will conclude in Mass Effect 3, right? Because they have that data. So it's tough to say whether or not, like, you not playing Mass Effect 1 will have those... those decisions will be shown rather than just like, oh, Ashley died and Rex died.
Right.
So, I don't know.
All right. Well, I think that's all we can kind of say about Mass Effect 3 without going into spoilers and stuff. And as Ryan mentioned, we're going to have a Mass Effect 3 spoiler episode probably a few weeks from now, if not a month from now, kind of once we've played through the game, which for me might be like tomorrow. But so are you ready to move on? Do you have anything else you want to say about this before we go to your next game?
I was just gonna say that I played a multiplayer game.
We didn't even talk about the multiplayer.
Well, I mean, we haven't really had a chance to crack it open, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. So I'm actually looking forward to trying that with actual friends rather than just randoms on the internet. So,
right. So you were saying
it's cool.
We should try Mass Effect 3 multiplayer as our first gamers in game night, which I'm behind. Like, I mean, I'm behind you. Like, yay, go team. As long as enough people have it. I don't want to leave anybody out since it is still, you know, a $60 game and right after release. So I think we should we'll poll the community and, again, go to the spreadsheet, enter your info, and, we'll start tweeting out about that. And if enough people have it, then, yeah, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, for sure. I'm playing on the Xbox.
I was gonna say,
Ryan, you're also playing on the Xbox, right?
Yep.
So that will be our platform of choice. And, yeah, so look for that in the coming days, I guess. So, Ryan, game number two.
I've been playing Unstoppable Gorg on the iOS, actually specifically for the iPad, and I know this game's been out for a while, but it was on my watch list for games that go on sale, and it finally dropped in price, so I picked it up, and it's like this weird... It's a tower defense game, but the cool thing about it is that it's kind of... The style is like a 50s sci-fi, and the cutscenes are all done as if they were like an old sci-fi movie, and, you know, like... you know, the aliens are like these weird saucers, and then the brains come into effect, like the classic, like, Attack of the Brains 50s sci-fi.
Yeah.
Everything's done nice. In, like, this spinny newspaper. Let's just in. Aliens attack Venus. You know, stuff like that.
I love the spinny newspaper thing. I think that's not done enough.
Well, this game does it like every other cutscene.
Nice.
And it is on PC, Mac as well. But I think it's like $10 on Steam. But I picked it up on iOS for $2, down from $5. And I'm just really digging it. It's cool. Like you protect your whatever you're protecting, either a planet or like a space station, and you have these like orbits, and you place towers in a specific place in the orbit, and now the paths that the enemies take changes with each run. So like there'll be a run of saucers that come through, and then like the next run will change the path, and you have to actually like move the orbits, like move the, we'll say, rings, so the towers can kind of line up with the new path. And it really introduces this other layer of like strategy, because you got to think, okay, I need to place, you know, enough towers on this ring, so when I rotate it, I'm not wasting towers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to explain, but I like it for its style and for its I'm just a huge fan of tower defense, so I say check it out.
Cool. Is it, so you said iPad. Is it iPad and iPhone?
As far as I know, it's only on iPad. I mean, I don't really see it working on the iPhone. It kind of requires a larger real estate.
Actually, I won't be picking it up.
Well, check it out on Steam. At least watch the trailer on Steam, and that'll give you an idea of whether you'd be interested in checking it out. And I'm sure it'll go on sale on Steam anytime, like in the next couple months.
Cool.
Part of one of those sales.
Well, I played more WoW. Yay, WoW. Actually, Joel got it all installed on his system, and so we started. I know last time I said that I thought that he would make me be Alliance, but he didn't. He let me play a Blood Elf, so that's exciting. So I started a new character on, I can't remember the name of the realm now, but... is Joel in the chat room? Joel's not in the chat room, so we're going to move on. I can't remember the name of the realm, but we played, I guess, Friday night and Saturday night, and I wish we weren't so busy, and I wish Mass Effect hadn't just come out, because I am freaking loving it. I didn't like it so much the first time I played, because I was soloing, and I was kind of like, this is like a not as good Skyrim, because there's not as much story. But playing with Joel, and I mean, he taught me how to move with the mouse, which is so much easier than the keyboard. So I was actually able to attack things properly, which I couldn't do the first time through. And, you know, it's all those little, like, inside, like, oh, well, did you know if you do this, then you can do this? And I was like, oh, I get it. This isn't awkward and hard to play. No wonder people are enjoying this for the last 8 years. So, anyways, it was really, really fun. I'm really enjoying it. I think we got up to level either 5 or 7. I can't remember, because I got my first character up to level 6 before I deleted her. So I can't remember if our characters are one level below where she was or one level above where she was. But, you know, like we've been going around. He took me to a city and I'd never been to a city before. So it was really exciting. This is kind of sounding like real life. That's kind of bad. But yeah, he was showing me around and it was really good. And I like my character. He showed me how to change her clothes into stuff that I find and, you know, what I was able to wear and what I wasn't able to wear. And because I kept picking up with my first character, I kept picking up mail, and she's a hunter, so she can't wear it. But I didn't know that. So I was just like, oh, this thing is awesome. And I was getting frustrated because I couldn't actually put it on. I was like, oh, what is wrong with this stupid game? So... but I'm figuring it out with his help, so it's a lot of fun. And so look for more updates as I do more cool things, because most of the stuff that we've been doing so far, since it's all the early level stuff, is it's just like, you know, go kill 5 of these, go kill 10 of these, go find this person and give them a message, kind of like really, really basic, not very story-intensive stuff. And I don't know how much story there is in WoW. I've heard there's not much, but, you know, there's got to be some lore.
Oh, there's a lot of lore, and it comes in chunks. I find really you'll I the real test, and I hope you make it this far, is just to get into your first instance, which is basically a dungeon, and just run a dungeon, you and
Oh,
Joel
is that why
and
the
other
instance is
people.
called the instance?
Yeah.
I get it. So instances are dungeons, and I need to find one. Are they like, if you go to somebody with the exclamation point over their head, then are they one of the ones that will send me to an instance slash dungeon?
Yeah, eventually, if you keep like running through the quests, you'll actually eventually hit a dungeon. And I think your first dungeon's like level 12. And I remember when I started playing WoW, running my first dungeon was one of the coolest things I ever did in that game. And the experience cannot be beat. Your first instance, it cannot be beat. And you'll always look. I always look back at that. It was one of the most fun I've ever had playing an MMO. Was actually just doing your
Really?
first instance.
Oh, I'm
Deadmines.
so
Good old
excited.
Deadmines.
I'm so excited
That's an
now.
Alliance one. Yeah. So are you have you taken up any crafting, or are you just like literally just running through the start zone still?
I haven't made anything yet.
And
I
you're a
don't think.
hunter.
Yes. I just wanted the cool dragon pet thing.
Yeah, I remember the Blood Elf. I remember I rolled a Blood Elf when Burning Crusade came out. I think we got it. No, I didn't get it midnight launch, but when you run start a new character that is just released from an expansion, it's like as soon as you get in, there's just like these hundreds of like naked Blood Elves running around doing quests, and it's one of the weirdest things to see actually.
Why are they all naked?
Come on. Obviously, you haven't been playing this game long enough, because when your clothes are off in that game, that means you're ready to party. You're not actually questing. You're just fooling around. Just
Never
wait
seen
until you get to the
anybody.
city.
I was in a city, although I'm in a city, and the realm that we're playing in is a role-playing realm, so I'm sure, like, I mean, I think
Uh-oh.
we ran into like three other people because we're Well, Joel's not new, but I'm new. So, and both of our characters are brand new. So we started our characters together from level one. So there was like nobody else in the starting area. So I think everybody's up at the end game stuff now. So, but yeah, we were in a city. Everyone I've seen in WoW has been wearing clothes. I don't understand.
Well, you're on a role-playing server, and that sort of behavior is usually like frowned upon. So are incomplete sentences and, improper use of grammar. But if you were to go to a PvP server, which is basically the complete opposite, or what's the other one?
TV.
Shoot. Yeah, thank you. PvE. For some reason, I was thinking of a completely different acronym. You'll find that when you go to a city, there's always the sexy race, naked, dancing on the mailbox. So with Horde, it's the Blood Elves, and when it, with the Alliance, it's,
The
I don't
regular
know,
elves?
the humans, I guess. Or yeah, I guess the regular elves, that's probably,
Sorry, not
I don't
regular.
know.
Night elves, night elves.
Night Elf. I
No
guess
one
Blood
elf
Elves would
is
be more.
better than another elf, but the blood elves are totally the best.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
Well,
I'm
that's
gonna
good
get
you're
some hate
enjoying it,
mail.
though.
Oh God, I love it. Yeah, I've had such a good gaming week.
Yeah, it's been action-packed.
So what? Okay, I saw this in the in the, the saw this in the notes. What is DOTA?
Dota is a mod that came out in the Warcraft 3 days, which stands for Defense of the Ancients. And it was one of these weird games that I played as a mod, way back, like I guess it would be like 10 years, yeah, about, and oh, not 10, maybe like 7, I don't know, it was a long time ago. And basically, how it works is there's teams of five, and each person controls a hero, and there's like, and I'm sure you've played like a Dota game before. Basically, what happens is there's these creeps leaving from your base to their base, and there's these like paths that they take. And the whole point is to kind of help those creeps steadily get to the opposing team's base and to destroy it. So Dota 2 is kind of the unofficial official sequel that Valve is building. And actually, I got invited to the beta last Friday, and I'm like, sweet. I've been trying to get into this beta for almost a year now. Finally, my card is up, and I'm good to go. And I played a few matches, and it feels exactly like Dota, in the sense that you know, I get into a game, and then as soon as someone uses an acronym that I don't know, and I say, what do you mean? And they're like, noob. I'm just like, okay, that doesn't help. You know, I've been called a noob before, but when I ask a genuine question, like, okay, how does calling me a noob and telling me to fuck off and learn to play help me learn to play?
It's the exact same problem I have with Call of Duty multiplayer, where it's like, you know, I obviously don't know what I'm doing and my level is low, so you yelling at me and swearing at me is not helping me learn.
It makes me want to screw over my team more just to piss you off. And these guys, this one guy was getting angry at me, and we won the game anyways because I just kept going at it and I ignored him. Actually, basically, I told him off. I said, you know, you calling me a noob, you probably could have just explained what you meant rather than me sitting here not doing anything, typing this message. In that time, you could have just explained what you meant rather than telling me off and then me just sitting here, you know, telling you off, right? But that being said, like, I've actually had a few games where I'm just having a blast, and I'm getting in there and I'm killing fools, and it's really cool because it's got like Quake style like announcer stuff, so when you kill someone, like, there's like first blood and kiltacular and godlike, and you know, when you kill someone, it's a big deal.
I love it.
I think that's a Halo thing, but When you do kill someone, it's a big deal, because what happens is you take a chunk of their gold and I think you get a bunch of experience as well. And when your hero dies a lot, that's considered like feeding. You're like feeding the enemy. You know, you're making them stronger, and you're not progressing. Mm. I've learned that mainly because there was someone doing much worse than I was, and people accused them of feeding. But I like it, and I think I'll play a bit more. And it's weird that, like, Valve has not really talked about actually releasing the game, and it's been in beta for over a year now, and it feels done, but they don't really have a business model for it. So whether they're going to sell it as a game or, like, give it away for free and do what they're doing with either League of Legends or Heroes of New Earth, which are similar games, where they give it away for free and then you can only play as certain heroes for free, and then you can buy other heroes and blah blah blah.
Right.
But no, I mean, hell, I saw that's in our game night facts, and because it's in beta, it's pretty limited. And but if more people actually wanted to get a game going, I'd be down for that.
Nice.
But yeah.
Cool. So the last thing that I played this week was actually I picked up Zelda again. I picked it up on the weekend. Still some problems. I'm not going to go into it all now because we actually have a special guest coming on the show next week. His name is John. He's my friend from Twitter. And he's going to come on and he's going to talk Zelda Skyward Sword with us. So I'm hoping to have the entire game done by the time we talk to him next week. And yeah, so it should be a really good, it's going to be another theme episode. It's going to be completely full of spoilers. So if you haven't played the game yet, then probably don't tune in next week, or tune in and just, you know, turn it down really low or something. But, yeah, so I'm not going to talk too much about Zelda right now, but, yeah, man, still some of the same problems. Although I think a lot of my problems come from picking it up and putting it away for so long and not playing any Wii games at all. So I have to kind of get used to the controller again and, you know, get used to, like, remember where I am and how to push the buttons to, like, even something as simple as drinking a health potion, I forgot how to do. It's been so long since I picked up the game. So, you know, once I got those kinks kind of worked out, then it was a little bit better. But, I mean, still frustrating. God, that motion control. I wish there was a way to turn it off. I really do.
You know, it's weird. And we've had this discussion before.
Yeah.
I really don't understand how you have these. I mean, I'm not accusing you of anything. It's more just the difference of our play styles, that, like, you have just had the worst time with the motion control and playing Wii and, you know, all that stuff. And then me, I'm just like, all right, I lower my standards. I'm playing an SD game on an HDTV. I'm using motion control. Let's do this new Zelda game. And I got through it and I had a blast.
Yeah.
And you're going to beat that in a week?
Yeah,
it's like a 40-20-hour game.
I know. I'm going to – tomorrow I'm going to play more Mass Effect. I might play more Mass Effect now, actually, not going to lie. But Mass Effect is going to be tomorrow, and then after tomorrow night, I'm not touching Mass Effect again until after the Zelda episode, and then I'm going to play Zelda on Friday night, and I'm going to play Zelda on Sunday, and I'm actually going to the Game of Thrones exhibition in Toronto, so Saturday is off the table for gaming, but then I have Monday and Tuesday next week too, so I'm hoping that in my Friday night, all day Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday, I'll be able to get through the game. So we'll see. I'm at the part where you're in the desert, and I just got to the mine.
So you haven't gotten the dungeon yet? You just got into that area?
Yeah, well, I did the three things to get the thing to pop up from the ground, and then I went into the thing, which is the entrance to the thing. I don't want to say too much, so I'm just using
the thing to the thing.
But yeah, I think the thing that I just opened is the thing that I walk through to get to the other thing, which I think is the, or I don't know, maybe I am in the, it's the mine anyways. I can't remember if it's the actual dungeon or not. I know there's something on the other side that I'm trying to get to, but yeah. By the time
they
I actually got
mine.
That opened, huh?
I was just saying, they call it a mine. A mine.
Nice.
That's my favorite quote from the Lord of the Rings movies, out of all of them.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's definitely up there. But yeah, so anyways, everyone who wants to hear more about my Zelda experience and John's Zelda experience and Ryan's Zelda experience should tune in next week, because we're going to have a ton of fun, because I know John's on my side and we're just going to rip it apart.
What's the point in having the episode then? I mean, I'm just saying, like, well, why would we
defend
devote an
yourself,
episode
man?
To... Who am I gonna have on my side?
I don't know if you can
I'll
recruit
just have
someone.
Myself.
I was gonna say, yeah, four people it might be a little much. So yeah, you're on your own.
No, I'm fine with that. Yeah, they're all valid points, but if you're just gonna tear apart the motion controls, it's.
No, I promise I will not tear apart motion controls. I've done that enough. So my critique will be completely outside of motion control. I promise.
Okay.
On that note, listener feedback. We actually didn't get any listener feedback this week, guys. So step it up a notch. Just kidding. Please send us stuff.
What Jocelyn's trying to say is we're not angry. We're just disappointed.
But it's okay, because we still love you. So you should just, you know, write in and tell us that you love us too. And hey.
Who said anything about the L word? Let's not get too committal here. Right?
I'm very committed to our listeners. So shove it. So if you guys want to get in touch with the show, you can email us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com. You can now listen to us live every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern Time, and that's at www.gamersinpodcast.com/live. You can also follow the show on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. We are facebook.com/TheGamersInn, and we are also on Google+, so you can search for us there. And we also have a forum on VTW Productions website. So really, there's no excuse not to talk to us. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of Starcrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comics at starcrossedonline.com, and he posts a new comic every Monday, so go check him out. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week where we will be welcoming a special guest, as well as talking all about Zelda.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things that really has stuck in my mind about Mass Effect 3 in the last 3 hours that I played it is that I heard a character say GUI. GUI, like G-U-I. And there was no option to renegade punch them for pronouncing an acronym. Ah, good night. Ready, set, Freddy, Prince Jr. What?
when we record. There's no video or anything. It doesn't matter if I look dumb, so it's totally up at my forehead. I am the reason for WDHP.
What would Jesus do? But no, actually, no,
pay attention to me! Cries and stomp feet!
I'm gonna pay attention to you for like an hour and a half.